ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवे श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ आफ्टर् हविङ्ग् कम्प्लीटेड् द डिस्कशन् आन् अनुप्रवेश श्रुतिः the statement of Vedic statement, Vedantic statement revealing the entry of Paramatma in the world. Now, we have to see the Vidya Sutram. I said Vidya Sutram in a aphorism which reveals in a brief statement the meaning of the Mahavakyam. A statement revealing the meaning of Mahavakyam is called Vidya Sutram. And we saw that statement, Atmetyeva Upasita. Atma Ityeva Upasita. That Paramatma, obtaining as the Sakshi, the witness of the mind, in all three states of mind, always, in every vritti, Paramatma obtaining as the witness of the vrittis, witness of the thoughts, witness of the mind, another than Paramatma only. Paramatma alone is obtaining as the witness. Therefore, may one meditate upon that Paramatma Parambrahma, may one understand. The word Upasita, even though it means may one meditate, actually what it implies is understanding. Knowledge. May one discover, may one understand, may one know that Paramatma being here as the all-pervasive reality obtaining as the witness of the mind. Atma Itteva Upasita. Which means this witness, the one that which obtains as the witness in the mind, is another than Paramatma. That is what is the meaning of that Vidya Sutra. So, may one meditate upon that Brahman as this Atma means, again, this is also a preparation for statement which already reveals the meaning, the vision which is going to be revealed by the Mahavakyam, Aham Brahmasmi, which is going to come later on. And here, the last class, we saw how the poor Mimamsakas, the Karmakandis, take this one word Upasita, and take that Vidhilings word, verb. Because the verb, you know, is actually the Upasita, may one, taking that verb, which means may one know, and they argued how the Veda is mainly karma pradhana, mainly Veda is predominantly emphasizing karma, and enjoying karma, accomplishing the result of the action. Enjoy the result of action is the purushartha, is the ultimate end. Therefore, Veda emphasizes action. The performance of rituals, performance of action is the important object matter of the karmaka, entire Veda. That is their argument, and they presented four different arguments. We saw in the previous class how Shankara, you know, negated them. And then, still they could not. We saw in the last verse, then I said, the word Upasita, if you take it as meditation, and when the Purumamsakaha emphasized that it should be taken in the sense of that yogic meditation. Dhyanam as emphasized in the yoga philosophy. The Karma Kandi, the Purumamsakaha says, take that word Upasita, may one meditate. No? I hope you remember the verbal affix, the verbal termination itself emphasizes, in fact reveals, it creates an inclination. You have the power to create inclination, to do something. Get up. If I say, the very expression get up creates an inclination to do something. That the power of creating an inclination to do something is called Shabdi Bhavana. And the inclination to do something which rises in the mind of the listener is called Arthi Bhavana. Remember these two things? Therefore, mainly karma is, Veda is karma pradaya. Predominantly, the karma is the important subject matter of the Veda. So we have to take that verb as meditate. So may one meditate upon Atma. It doesn't say may one know the Atma. Which means knowledge is always followed by an action. So action has to be performed, and so that one can, then the result will be there. That enjoying the result produced by the karma which follows the jnanam is the ultimate purushartha. Which means one has to, knowledge itself is not enough. Knowledge has to be implemented in the form of an action, and action has to produce the result. And enjoying that result is what? Purushartha. So which is important? Knowledge or action? Action. That is his argument. Now this is the basic argument of a Karmakandi. Karma is important. Karma alone can produce the result. And enjoying the result, accomplishing the result is the Purushartha. Okay, that's the goal. And for which one has to perform an action. To perform an action, you need knowledge. Okay? Therefore, jnanam is not very important. Performance of action is very important. That is how purushartha, accomplishment of purushartha is possible. Even this verb upasita only implies what verb? Action only. Not, okay, action. You have to know. We saw all the arguments. And towards the end he said, one has to meditate. Why? It's not enough to simply understand the teaching. After understanding the teaching, also what now? You have to meditate to put all the thoughts to sleep. It needs to resolve your thoughts. It's called Chitta Vritti Nirodha. It is said in yoga. That is what the goal. And Shankara also answered, no, meditation is an action which cannot resolve, destroy the ignorance. Meditation can be practiced before the attainment of knowledge for preparing the mind for knowledge. Meditation can be practiced after the attainment of the knowledge for the assimilation of the knowledge. There's a purpose. What does meditation do? Meditation practiced after the attainment of knowledge is for assimilation of the knowledge which you have already attained. Meditation practiced before the attainment of knowledge is for preparing the mind for knowledge. Nowhere it is said meditation is for the attainment of knowledge. Meditation cannot remove the ignorance also. Meditation is a mental activity. Therefore, that yoga abhyasa, the practice of meditation as a discipline to prepare the mind, is a good discipline which can be practiced before knowledge, to prepare the mind for knowledge. It doesn't really result in accomplishment of purusharta in terms of moksha or jnanam, because it cannot remove the ignorance. Here the whole problem is what? The problem is ajnanam. Ignorance has to be resolved, for which only you need jnanam, not anything else. For that abhyasa is not, is there different, is not the, the word upasita does not mean even yogic meaning of practicing meditation. It is simply knowing only. The word upasita does not mean meditation, implies only knowledge. So Atma itya upasita means may one understand the Atma, may one know the Atma. What is Atma? The all-pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence, the essential nature of every individual. Into the term Atma, may one discover that Atma. May one discover that Paramatma. Obtaining as what? Obtaining as the very witness of the mind. Atma. This witness already you know. You don't need to say, is there a witness or not? Already you know there's a witness. Who is the witness? I am the witness. I know my mind very well. I know my waking state. I know my deep sleep state. I know my my dream. I am the knower. I am the witness. Okay, I am the witness. I have no doubt about it. It's very clear already, isn't it? Is it not? I am the witness is very clear. And here Shastram says, that Paramatma, Parambrahma, is another than this witness. May one discover, know, understand this witness being the Parambrahma Atma. This is what is said. You're only discovering, knowing, understanding. The word Upasita emphasizes knowing that witness being the Atma. Knowing the Atma, this the reality, the witness being Atma, identical with Brahma. It's only knowledge is emphasized. Knowledge is it doesn't mean any action. After knowledge, in karma kanda, after knowledge has to be followed by karma, action. Knowledge has to be implemented in the form of action for us to enjoy the benefit of that knowledge. That is practical, that is possible, that rule is applicable only in the karma kanda. Whereas in jnana kanda, no karma is given importance. Karma is not emphasized. Purushartha is moksha. And moksha is which is something which is already there. And it has to be discovered. Therefore here that too has the very nature of the self. The self, discovering the self itself is purushartha. Knowledge need not be implemented. No karma needs to be followed to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge. Isn't it? So karma is not pradhana. Veda is not karma pradhana. Karma kanda is karma pradhana. Ultimately, Veda's aim is not making the person do the karma. Ultimate purpose of the Veda is to help the person discover the truth and enjoy the take ownership of moksha which is already there. So Vedaha jnana pradhanaha or karma pradhanaha. Even though Veda teaches karma, emphasizes karma, what is the predominant, what is the ultimate aim of the Veda? Is making the person do or no? Ultimate aim of Veda is not making the person do things, know the truth. That is the culmination of the life of the whole human life, doing all the rituals, the prayer, the worship, the performance of rituals. Everything should ultimately culminate in discovering the moksha which is already there. Therefore, Veda is not karma pradhanaha, Veda ha jnana pradhanaha. This is what Shankara wants, Bhagavatpada wants to establish here. Taking this one statement, Atmetyeva Upasita Vidya Sutram, and he wants to establish this fact here. Also, by way of answering the questions, the queries of the Karmakandi, the Purvimamsakaha, he clarifies our doubts, isn't it? Is it clear or not? No. And further, Shankar Bhagavatpada, to give an answer, how not only karma produces result, of course karma does produce the result, but sometimes knowledge also helps us accomplish the result. Isn't it? Knowledge itself is end for us. Which means knowledge need not be implemented in the form of an action to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. That is in karma, in jnana kanda, in Upanishads, it happens that knowledge itself is an end for us. for which he gives an example. Now, what's the example he gives? The rope snake example. Shankara Bhagavatpada gives the rope snake example. So, the rope is there, but when we do not know what is rope, it is natural, then we mistake the rope for a snake. And when do you mistake the rope for a snake? You mistake in the rope. In utter darkness, pitch darkness, you cannot mistake anything for anything because you cannot see anything. You cannot see the rope, nor can you see the snake. At the same time, in bright light also, you will not mistake the rope for a snake, because in bright light, you are able to see the rope as a rope. But in dim light, it is possible for you to mistake the rope for a snake. Isn't it? So you mistake the rope for a snake. So this perception of snake, your perception is not denied. It is natural for you to perceive the rope as a snake. You perceive. Even though there is no real snake, but in your perception, the snake is. And the perception of snake naturally results in what? Perception of snake causes fear. And fear is an undesirable phenomenon you go through. You suffer. And fear doesn't make you feel comfortable. So fear is not desirable. Fear makes you feel burdened. The fear makes you feel suffocated. Fear makes you feel affected, afflicted. So you want to get rid of the fear. How to free yourself from the fear? Now fear, you are in the grip of the fear. You are held, tightly held by the fear, the phenomenon called fear. You are in the hold of fear, isn't it? Now, can you give up your fear? In your perception, there's a snake. Snake is very real for you. Very, very real for you. You don't see it as your perception. In your perception as a snake is very real for you. Snake does cause the fear. And now, when there's a fear, you have not created the fear. Please understand this very clearly. You have not created your fear. Nor did the snake create the fear. Nor does the rope what is actually has created the fear. What has created the fear now? It is your perception of the snake, isn't it? This fear is mainly produced by your perception of the snake, not the actual snake. And this is, which is an erroneous perception. So the snake has to, until the snake is not undesirable. Now you try to get rid of this fear. Freeing yourself from the bondage of fear. Now you are bound by the phenomenon called fear. You are bound by the phenomenon called fear, obtaining in the form of a thought, a state of mind. Where is fear sitting now? Where is fear? Please say, where is fear? Fear is an inexplicable, subtle phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought. See, the lesson is not new. Old lesson, but I make you see. Where is fear? What is fear? Bhayam. Sarpa bhayam kutra asti. Where is the fear caused by the snake? Fear is caused by the perception of the snake. Really speaking, but you do not know the fear is caused by the perception of the snake. For you, fear is just the snake is fear is. Where is the fear? Where is the fear? It is in your vritti, in the mind, in the form of thought. And you are bound by fear. You are held tightly, you are gripped in the grip of the fear. How are you going to, having the fear, being endowed with this fear, see, you are endowed with the phenomenon called fear. You are caught up by the fear, and it is not comforting, is it? It's not at all comfortable. And you want to free yourself from the grip, the hold, bondage of fear. And you want to kill the snake. Can you kill the snake? Can you kill the snake? Yes. Take a big knife or a sword or a big stick and hit it and beat it and try to cut it and then kill the snake. Kill the snake. That's the only way you can free yourself from bondage of fear. Only way you can be free from the fear caused by the perception of the snake. And you try, you do try to destroy the snake. And all your efforts to destroy the snake, and you are doing so many types of actions. First, going to temple or church or mosque and pray. Pray. Pray is an action, but God will protect me. You pray. Poor God, okay, makes you feel comfortable that day and sends you back. But the fear doesn't go. Prayer doesn't work. Worship, pujas do not work. Rituals do not work. Sit in a corner, sing bhajans, action doesn't work. You know, I'm not saying singing bhajans, going to temple is useless. They're all useful actions. They all serve the purpose. Prayer, worship, singing bhajans, chanting mantras, doing japam, practicing meditation there, sitting in a corner, practice meditation. All this kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karma, all types of actions you do. Okay, so dance, sing, jump, do any type of action. That's why I said three types of actions. Physical activity, oral activity, mental activity. You know, Samadana Beda Danda, you say that, no. You try all sorts of actions. Anything possible you do. When you are doing, whatever you are doing, holds your attention, diverts your attention. Please listen to me carefully. Whatever you are doing, in terms of praying or worshipping or singing bhajans or kirtans or moving around or, you know, whatever you are doing, the action you are doing holds your attention, diverts your attention, therefore makes you, helps you forget the fear and forget the snake for some time. Whenever you do something else, that helps you forget the snake, diverts attention, forget the snake. Real snake was there, it would have been really killed you by then. Because there's no real snake, it's all your perception. Finish. Your attention is diverted. You forget the snake, then there is no fear. As long as you do not remember the snake, there is no fear. And that's called what now? Temporary fearlessness is called what? Pleasure. Understand now? Temporary fearlessness is called pleasure. But what you are searching for is happiness. Utter fearlessness. Isn't it? So whatever you think, whatever you do helps you get rid of the fear. In fact, the fear doesn't go. The fear is there. The minute you stop doing something, again attention comes back. Isn't it? Then again fear is there. So what it is made very clear, whatever you do, the fear will not go at all. So what is it which will help you? How can you free yourself from the hold of the phenomenon called the fear for good? For you to be a person of utter fearlessness. If the real snake is not there, even hitting, killing will not work. The snake has to disappear. And how are you going to undo the snake? Isn't it? The only possibility, the only way is you have to go near and see what is. Find out what is. Discovering what is what? Knowledge. Discovery of what is knowledge of what is. This rope is. Rope is covered. Covered by what? Ignorance. What covers the rope? Rope is there. Ignorance is veiling. That's why ignorance is covering the rope. Ignorance of what is what? Being covered. And discovery of what is what? Knowledge. So, when you understand what is rope, the discovery of what is knowledge. Knowledge of what is rope itself is what? You need not do anything extra to see the fact that there is no snake. Isn't it? There is no snake at all. To see the snake being not there, you need to see what is enough. Knowledge itself is what? End. What is the end? Undoing of this snake. Is it clear now? Here, do you need to do any action after knowing what is rope? Tell me. What action do you need to do? What is the aim? In dissolving the fear. Freeing yourself. Freedom from the bondage. Freedom from the grip, the hold of the phenomenon called the fear is your goal. That is freedom. And for that freedom, what you need to do? You have to resolve the snake. What is the way of resolving the snake? Just discovering what is. Knowing what is itself is enough. When you discover what is rope, the snake resolves. Snake resolves simultaneously in the very rope. And you discover the freedom from fear also simultaneously, not afterwards. What action do you need to do for freeing yourself from the hold of the phenomenon called fear? What action do you need to do after knowing what is rope? Is it clear now? So knowledge of what is rope itself is what? Freedom from, itself is resolution of snake and correction of the error in the perception of the snake. Itself is the resolution of fear caused by the erroneous perception of the snake. Simultaneous. I have to say four sentences. But actually speaking, simultaneous, isn't it? So discovery of what is rope itself is what? Resolution of the snake. Itself is what? Correction of the error in the perception of the snake. So seeing the rope itself is what? The resolution of fear caused by the correction in the perception of error in the perception of the snake. Is it clear? Isn't knowledge here enough? Shankara Bhagavatpada gives this example. So knowledge also produces phalam. One need, of course, karma knowledge, some certain knowledge has to be implemented in the form of action to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. But in some areas, knowledge itself is the result. all forms of knowledge need not be followed by action. In karma kanda, knowledge has to be implemented in the form of an action. Knowledge has to be followed by an action to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Mere knowledge will be of no use. Aprayojanam, nishprayojanam. Jnanam, karmana vina, nishprayojanam. Knowledge without performance, the performance of action. Knowledge not put into practice, knowledge which is not implemented in the form of an action, will be of no use in karma kanda. Whereas in jnana kanda, no action can be done, no action is necessary, knowledge itself is end. So, hey, poor Mimamsaka, you don't come here to Vedanta portion and talk. You stay away in karma kanda itself. Don't come to the jnana kanda portion. With your views, you can come to jnana kanda, but don't come with your views will not work here. Is it clear? It's purely notional. Where is fear in the mind? Where is bondage? Where is bondage? Tell me. Where is bondage? Please see the bondage. Bondage is not in gross form. Bondage is all in your notion, in your perception, my God. That's why knowledge is the only means. Jnanameva sadhanam mokshaya. Similarly here, all the notions we entertain about ourselves, you know, I am bound by time. I am bound by time. I am in the grip. I have no freedom. Isn't it? Because I was born in time. I'm going to die in time. I'm living in time. Isn't it? I'm bound by time is a notion. I was born is a notion. I'm going to die is a notion. It's all the perception of yourself. So you are bound by fear, sense of insecurity, unhappiness, sorrow. You are bound by sorrow. Every human being now is bound by sorrow. Just as the fear is in your mind, where is sorrow? Something called sorrow, grief, fear, anxiety, and other emotions such as jealousy, hatred, anger, where are they? They're all binding you. You are bound by all of them. Means how exactly you are bound by fear, so also you are bound by all these emotions. And being bound by these emotions is what? Being subject to limitations. No? You're caught up, you're in the grip, tight grip. And that's why it's called samsaraha. Being bound by time, being bound by space, being bound by the objects, forms, names and functions, being bound by all these phenomena, natural phenomena, obtaining in the form of subtle, the emotions, fear, anger, jealousy, hatred, all of being subject to all these things, isn't it? Afflicted by all of them. Being bound by all of them, being afflicted by all of them, is samsara. This is what samsara is always likened to a crocodile. How crocodile catches you? Crocodile does not kill you. Real snake will kill you, isn't it? There's no real snake. Doesn't kill you. At the same time, you are not free. Crocodile catch, you know. If you are killed, means fear is gone, isn't it? Free, freedom. Death, you know, you are not killed. But nor are you allowed to enjoy pain, continuously pain. It will hold you with this really terrible teeth, and then you're bleeding, you are caught. You are not killed, nor are you allowed to live. It's like punish. It's called suffocation and suffering. Here also samsara is what? Where is your fear? exactly he had feared, a sense of insecurity, and all other emotions, hatred, anger, jealousy, they're all just the natural phenomena. It's an up in the subtle form. There's no, isn't it? And you are bound. Bound by them. Where is bondage? Is absolutely caused by error in your perception. Error in the perception of the rope. No, erroneous perception of snake caused bondage. It is not the snake. Snake does not cause the bondage. Erroneous perception of the snake, isn't it? The rope as a snake caused the fear. So error has to be corrected. Similarly here also, there's a error, erroneous perception of the self. And this erroneous perception of the self, error in the perception of the non-self as the self. You mistake the non-self for the self. And thereby, there's error in the perception of the world also. So this error in the perception of the self has to be corrected. Why there is error in the perception of the self? Because you do not know what the self is. So discovering what the self is, itself is what? Resolving, discovery of the Atma is resolving what? Error in the perception. Correction of the error in the perception of the self. When the error is corrected, the error caused samsara also resolves. Error caused samsara resolves, just by correcting the error. For which what do you need? You need to see what is. So knowledge of what you are is knowledge of what is. Knowledge of what is what itself is resolving the error. All wrong notions is itself is for correction of error in the perception. There you see yourself what? Yourself being. You don't attain freedom. It is already there. Understand? So knowledge is freedom. What knowledge, what action do you need to do after knowing? The jnanadyeva kaivalyam. Moksha is what? Knowing itself is moksha. No action needs to be performed. So what is the ultimate aim of the Veda? Vedaha karma pradhanaha uta jnana pradhanaha. Is ultimate aim of Veda is knowledge or action? No, ultimate aim of Veda is to help you discover the truth. And enjoying the benefit of the knowledge of the truth is the ultimate aim. After discovering moksha, nothing needs to be done. Though everything you have to do in the beginning to prepare your mind, to become disciplined, ultimately to attain jnanam. Is it clear now? So vedahanatu karma pradhanaha jnana pradhanaha. But initially, does not mean Veda undermines karma. Karma is very important. So performance of karma without knowledge will be incomplete, and the knowledge without karma will be impossible. This is what Veda teaches. Is it clear now? So here the error has to be corrected. For which correction of the error in the perception wrong, the perception, the self itself is possible, is moksha, and for which you need only jnanam, nothing needs to be done after knowing. So you need to know what is, what you are essentially, what is enough. And you see what this I is. What is a snake? Because I don't know what is this rope. I am the body. I am the doer. I am the enjoyer. And I am small. I am in all these are notions. Why? Because anything added to I am is what? A notion. I am itself is knowledge. Anything added to I am is what? A notion. Erroneous notion. And in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, I am is half knowledge. Aham asmi is half knowledge. Aham Brahma asmi is Purnam Jnanam. Convert the Ardha Vidya into Purna Vidya. Convert the Ardham Jnanam into Purnam Jnanam. Half knowledge into total knowledge. Is going to come later on. Mahavakyam is going to come. Aham Brahma Asmi. Now Aham Asmi is okay. Aham Asmi is knowledge. I am Asmi. Aham Asmi. I am is knowledge. What is this I or what is this I am? So I stands for consciousness, am stands for existence. I stands for consciousness. Am stands for existence. So the abstract reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness is of the nature of existence. Somebody asks, why are you? Why are you means what? I am. You can't say why I am, okay? Why is water in the ocean? Can you ever ask the question? Hey, water is. Why is it? Being is the nature. Existence is the nature. Is it clear now? Existence is the nature. Do you see this? Being existent is existence. Is the nature. Is it clear? So what is it which has the nature of being existent? Being existent is equal to existence. And being existent, being the existence is the very nature of the reality. And what is that reality? In what form you understand reality in terms of its nature of knowing, witnessing. Therefore, it is pure knowledge, pure consciousness. I stand for chit, am stands for sat. Okay? Therefore, the knowledge of the existence of one's own self obtaining in the form of a thought is what I am. That I am is expression of the manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought. When this manifestation is not there, what is there? Pure knowledge obtains as pure existence. Now understand, when I and am, this manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought is not there. In sleep, what happens? You are there or not? Tell me you are there or not in sleep. Anybody has any doubt? In sleep, am I? In sleep, you're all there or not? You're all very much there. So what are you in sleep? In waking, when there is knowledge, when there is manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the thought in terms of I am, what are you? I stands for, I is chit, am stands for existence. Isn't it? When this manifestation is not there, what is there? The source of manifestation. When the wave doesn't rise, what is there? H2O. When there's a wave, what is there? Same H2O. When the knowledge rises in the thought, what is there? Knowledge. When the vritti resolves, what is there? Same knowledge. What is it now? What is the same reality? In what form reality does it obtain? Can you explain? Tell me, can you explain now? In what form does the reality obtain? You understand? Already you are seeing. See, you are seeing the reality is of the nature of formlessness. Don't you see now? Reality is of the nature of formlessness. You are the reality. That which rises as I and resolves is the reality. What is the form of the reality? Formlessness. Abstract. In what form does it obtain? Of knowledge, pure knowledge. So it is free from time limitation, free from spatial limitation, free from object limitation, that reality. And why it is? It is. Why reality is? Because being existent is nature. So existence and consciousness are not two different things. Existence is consciousness. Consciousness is existence. I'm sure you're seeing the fact. Don't you say that now? Don't you see that now? Very abstract, very subtle. I'm making you see consciousness being the existence. Existence being the consciousness. Do you get it? This consciousness is the truth of I. Now you resolve the I where? The very consciousness. I is consciousness which is of the nature of existence. I is consciousness which is of the nature of existence. With reference to ocean, what wave is water which is of the nature of existence. Is it clear? The reference to the whole jagat, you understand, and reality is what? Consciousness is of the nature of, absolutely of the nature of existence. Where is I? You have cognitively resolved the I in its swarupam. Now, I itself is resolved in consciousness means. What about the notions you had about yourself? I am consciousness, resolved already. Mortal can't exist by itself now. Just as snake resolves in the rope, I am resolves in consciousness, cognitively resolve in consciousness, which is of the nature of existence, then mortality superimposed upon the I has to be negated. Don't need to do anything. Cognitively, nothing is done physically here. Mortality, birth, death, old age, changes, suffering, pain, pleasure, fear, anxiety, jealousy, hatred, anger, I am angry, I am hungry, I am upset, I am sad, I am sorrowful. All these, all notions, all of them simultaneously resolve. When you repeatedly see this, where is it? But they were all there before. Yes. It's all caused by error in the perception. I'm sure you're seeing along with me. Is it clear now? Are you not free? You're free. So knowledge itself is freedom. Knowledge is freedom. He Purmimamsaka. Knowledge itself gives you the result here. Moksha Purushartha. This one pursuit, purely this dependent on knowledge. Knowledge itself is this end. No action needs to be done afterwards. Karma need not be done. What needs to be done here? So don't hold on, very strongly hold on to your view. You hold on to your view, okay, within Karma Kanda. No, knowledge has to be followed by an action. Action alone can produce the result. And accomplishing the result is the Purushartha, human pursuit. So Veda is a pramanam for accomplishing the human end in terms of enjoyment of results, for which you need to do karma, for which you need the knowledge. Is the Karma Kanda is view. No, Shankara Bhagavatpada negates this view, refutes this view. Of course, knowledge is to be implemented in the form of action. To enjoy the result, you have to go to Swarga, or you want to enjoy Putra Kame Putra, you want to have Artha Kama Dharma. To enjoy any of these time-bound relative ends, you need to perform karma, and for performing karma, your knowledge has to be there. You should know how to do, then you do, then enjoy the result. That is true. This is possible, is only within the realm of where? In Karma Kanda. But there is a Veda Anta Shastram. Veda is a crest jewel of Veda called Upanishads. Shiro Ratnam. Now Upanishad is the crest jewel of the Veda Shastram. The ultimate Jnana Kanda, the whole Karma Kanda is to make you sharp and intelligent and think. You are converted into a non-thinking, simple person who is interested in enjoying the simple day-to-day pleasures. You are made to think. So go through all the ashramas. You know, live a karma yoga, life of karma yoga. Live a life of a grihastha. Have children. Be attached to them. You know, have them. Everything good. And enjoy. And this life makes you what? The experiences should teach you. You must be sharp enough to learn from experiences. And once you learn from experiences, you become sharper. If you are not sharp enough, then you may not learn from your life's experiences. You must be sharp enough to learn from your life's experiences. Once you learn from your life's experiences, you become sharper. That is why whole Karma Kanda is to convert the dud into a sharp intelligent. Yeah, convert this person, the raw-headed, into a thinker. A non-thinking person into a thinking person. Make you intellectually sharp. Kushagra buddhi. Kushagra tikshna buddhi. How will you get your sharpness, intellectual sharpness? Then comes Jnanakandam. When you are ready for Jnanakanda, Jnanakanda comes. And there, because that is when you learn to sit first. Otherwise you are so restless, agitated, wandering up and down. No, initially you sing and jump and dance and do all those things. That's why clap and sing, everything is important. Slowly you learn to sit. That is why when very young age, simply being given the discipline of practicing meditation is not good. When you have to be physically active, wrong teaching. Learn. Having this discipline is okay, but it should not make you passive. Must be still active. To calm the mind, as a simple discipline, japa, it's all okay. It calms your mind because you need to learn also a bit. A little bit too hyper, otherwise you will be very hyper. You know, learn slowly and you understand. You have, when you see, you calm down, you slow down only when you understand the limitations of everything. To understand the limitations of everything here, you know, you must have performed, you must have experienced life. Few failures and few problems in life are important for you to slow down, to calm down, and then to become, you know, to become calmer. You must do. Even if you stop doing, momentum, it takes time, some time, isn't it, to stop. Suddenly you can't stop, no, everything, gradually. That's why people have to retire very slowly. 5 days, 7 days work should become 5 days work. 5 days work should become 3 days work. And 3 days work should become 1 day work. And every day a few hours, 1 hour, and slowly retire. Total retirement will lead to madness. In all the police officers in India, now when they retire at the age of 57, they're so busy and active, they're still very energetic. They go mad. They get angry, and then they're very difficult to handle afterwards, as police officers. So when all the people are going to retire now, they're given some meditation classes. When they go back, how to be calm. Active, isn't it? So, it's very important for a young person to be active. This is where discipline is. Get up in the morning, get up, have a shower, get ready, go. You know, do something, a discipline. But as you understand, you get older, isn't it? So, learn, very important to learn also. That is why, simply without understanding what is for what, practicing meditation will lead to disaster. Purushartha is important. Mechanically practicing meditation is not good. It may help you calm your mind down, but still not enough. Because the unresolved anger, see, it's a script, isn't it? So understand the teaching, then you see. Not mere practice of meditation, isn't it? The person should also work, earn his livelihood, do his duties every day, then have practice as a meditation as a discipline. You practice along with your other day-to-day activities. People don't go to work, don't earn their livings. No, simply join some classes and do practice meditation whole day. No, people who have been meditative, along with the regular duties, along with their working, earning, living their life in a clean life, then for them meditation will be of use. Simply practice meditation is not practical, not possible also. 24 hours, who can sit in meditation? People who work, that too, even for a person to be able to sit in meditation takes ages. One must have been given discipline of practicing meditation for many, many, many years, then that person can sit in meditation for a long time. Otherwise, you cannot sit in meditation even for 5 minutes. It's a long time of practice. Anyway, what it is said here is, meditation is a beautiful discipline. One has to practice. But meditation cannot remove ignorance. Before jnanam, you can practice meditation for preparing the mind for jnanam. After jnanam, you can practice meditation for assimilation of knowledge. Meditation itself cannot remove your ignorance. The bondage is caused by ignorance. Understand? So removal of ignorance is very important. So ignorance has to be resolved.